brought to you almost live from the Dude in the Basement Studios. Why? Because that's where the good stuff is. It sips, suds, and smokes with your smoking host, the good old boys. Hey man, got a light? It's time for Smokes.
Welcome again to the Smokes episode, folks of Sip, Suds, and Smokes. We are the best part of this podcast. Everything in life is worth discussing, and today we have with us good old boy Mike.
Si, senor, I'm here.
We have good old boy Benjamin.
How's your dog, Nelson?
Good old boy Nate.
Howdy, y'all.
And myself, good old boy Barger. What's up, folks? Happy New Year, first of all of you. I don't know that we've seen each other.
2024.
But it's 2024, unless you're in Ethiopia, then it's like 17. Yeah, they're behind. It's weird. Anyway, we're the best thing on at 2 a.m., right before home medicine with Dr. Kevorkian, and just after dumpster fires with our Congress.
Yeah, that's for sure.
As you know, as well, I hope most of you know, our smoke segments are all about cigars or, well, anything that you can smoke. And for today's segment, drumroll please. We're having tea with a Matilde takeover.
Oh, I have this English accent coming over me. Let's have a bit of tea with Matilda.
That's right.
Isn't it?
So strap on and hang in tight.
Whoa, wait a second. Whoa, this is a family-friendly cigar show. Strap on and hang on tight.
That's right.
Okay, yeah.
We're going in deep.
I wish to register a complaint.
We're going
to
have fun today, but don't worry. If
what
you miss
kind of
anything,
personal lube do I need for this show? That's what I need to know right now.
We're going to go with banana flavored.
Banana flavor?
Yeah, that's right. Bananas today. If you miss anything, folks, you can download the full episodes from anywhere you have podcasts or anywhere you listen to us. You can download them, take them on your drive, get on that airplane, do it offline, whatever you want to do, folks. But before we dive into the shallow end of the pool, remember the buddy system. Where's your buddy?
You got a buddy?
Who's got buddy? Who's got the buddy? Nobody?
Yeah, all I see is somebody standing on the side of the pool with a strap on and fresh lube. That's all I see at this point.
We're swimming.
And the ombudsman has been triggered again.
That's right. If you're a cigar newbie, fret not. We got you covered on our Cigar 101, where all of the cigar speak will be decoded. Just search Sip, Suds, and Smoke Cigar 101, and that episode should pop right up for you on the link.
Banned.
Yep, that's right. So, good old boy myself is going to be giving you our new smokes rating. So, over the smokes rating, we'll be discussing with our Sip, Suds, and Smokes new rating system, plus our signature sounds. Here are those ratings now. 1, that sucked before it was lit. 2, hey, at least I lit it. 3, I would smoke this again. 4. All right, how much you want for him?
I really like that.
And 5.
Magnificent.
And 5. Where are they? I need a box. That's right. Now, the cigars we'll be reviewing today are the Matilde Maduro, the Oscuro, the Quadrata, and the Connecticut, the Serena Connecticut, right? Is that Serena?
Serena?
I've Serena, always said Serena. Serena Connecticut? Yeah.
Serena.
And there might be a couple at the end that are a little extras there.
Serena's the one with the big booty down at the Cluck and Chuck.
Yeah, is she the one right with the fish feet?
That's why we're saying Serena, not Serena.
So we're going to let Nate kick us off with the Maduro. Nate, why don't you tell us a little bit about the Maduro?
Good luck. Yeah, so the Matilde Serena Maduro is a bolder, darker version of the original Serena. The Maduro features an oily Mexican Maduro wrapper, a Dominican Criollo 98 binder, and a Nicaraguan and Dominican filler. When lit, the Serena Maduro offers a deep, intensity of flavors while providing a well-balanced smoking experience. The cigars are handmade in Dominican Republic. The binder is Dominican Republic. The fillers, Dominican and Nicaraguan. And then the wrap relief is going to be Mexican San Andreas.
Mm. What do you think about that cigar?
I really enjoy it. To me, it's a nice, just mellow, rich, chocolatey Maduro.
Yeah.
Nothing too intense. I love it.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm a fan as well. I don't think they're over oily. I don't think they're over, you know, I think it's a nice baseline Maduro to go with. You know, even it's a non-Maduro smoker's Maduro almost.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Benjamin, what do you think?
Absolutely. This is one of those full body, right? You get all of the flavor profile that you're looking for, but not overwhelming on the strength part of it. A lot of that like cafe mocha, cool chocolatey notes. These things are...
cafe.
Super, super tasty.
Mm. Mike?
A little spicy up front. You know, I caught a touch of kind of oil and leather. It actually feels really dense, you know, as you're smoking through it. I like to finish off this, but I thought the way you started it, I thought was a good way to describe it. It was just a good average Maduro. Yeah. You know, I don't think there was anything... you know, amazing about it or bad about it. I just thought it was a good middle of the road. You know, it's something to throw in the bag, you know, with the,
Sure.
You know, for the wedding guests and, you know,
absolutely.
Or whatever.
Golf you know. Gar worthy.
There you go. Sure. Yeah.
So what are we going to rate?
Looks
like it's a 4. It's a good Maduro, folks. Check it out.
Magnificent.
It's going to be fun time, man, for sure. So here a little bit, let's take a look, a couple minutes and let's talk about Matilde. So Benjamin is going to tell us a little bit of, about them.
Yeah, so Matilde is a resurrection brand. They're one of the first brands to be established in the Dominican Republic, originally founded in 1876 in Santiago de los Caballeros, but then revived by the Cejas family in 2014. So the versions that we're smoking today...
Now, Nate, you were talking to us earlier about the Cejas family, right?
Yeah.
So why don't you tell the listeners a little bit about what you were telling us?
Yeah, so the father was the master blender for Altadis for about 30 to 35 years. They're the manufacturers who make Monte Cristo. They make Romeo and Juliet. You know, a lot of H. Upman.
Altadis is a big umbrella brand.
Big umbrella, and it's a very classic Trinidad. Dominican factory. And so he was the master blender there for a long time, like even before the cigar boom in the 90s. And so he wanted to retire, and he retired. And then, you know, from as I know it, he got bored and essentially decided to start this company with his son, Enrique. And Enrique and I got to meet years ago for the first time and sit down and have a cigar. And it's cool because he grew up, you know, in the cigar industry with a dad who did it for a living. And I love that perspective. I've met a lot of people who've grown up in this industry with parents. And that it's such an interesting perspective, because for him, even I remember him just talking about how it's like at first it was like he had no interest in that. He went to college. He had kind of a different plan for his life, never to join the family business. And then now his dad stepped down and he's running the whole company now.
That's
and
awesome.
For multiple years. And so it's cool to see how the family passion comes full circle with it.
Yeah, I got to meet him at PCA. He was a really nice guy. Really nice guy, for sure.
You know, that's just a very common, you know, storyline that you have with a lot of different, you know, brands that, you know, I think a lot of people think that the cigar industry is like, you know, thousands of people that are involved, you know, with making a lot of these brands. It's really not. I mean, the cigar industry is really held in a very small number of families. I mean, yeah. When I think of... you know, it's really more like 100 to 150 people that really, you know, are involved in a lot of, you know, across, you know, whole generations and different brands. And so I think the storyline here is a very common one. And I like the fact that this is turning into passing down, you know, that skill set, which is something that you see also, you know, quite a bit within the, you know, cigar world as well, is that there's this multi-generational feel. Even if the son wanted to walk away, you know, I'm glad that he decided to come back around and at least leverage, you know, the skill and experience, you know, from his father. Even if he you know, even if he walks away from it at some point in time, you know, later in life, at least he's embodied, you know, that skill and experience so that he can pass it on, you know, to, you know, his children or other, you know, family.
Well, and I think that's the cool thing, because it is, I do love meeting the people where it, like, you grew up with it at, you know, none of us have had that experience. We have parents who grew up with all different professions, but cigar rolling is probably not that. And so it's weird because, you know,
our family was involved in strap-ons and personal lube products, but other than
and
that,
swimming, you know,
right?
And swimming,
right? But yeah, so you think about, like, I know Barger, he, like, if the moment he had the chance to roll a cigar at the family factory, he would have done it. But so that, well, but
with or without lube.
No, yeah, no, both.
But like, try them both ways. You have that contrast, and then it's like, then you kind of, as an adult, as you get mature and stuff, and you start to grow into that, it's cool to see that contrast.
I knew somebody had to make the strawberry switcher sweets.
That's right. I'm going to talk about it. It's a dark time in my family's history. Awesome, Nate. Thanks for sharing. What else you got for us, Benjamin, on the Sejas family?
Well, yeah, just to lead off of where, you know, Nate left us, talking about Jose Sejas. He is a member of the Cigar Aficionado Hall of Fame, class of 2012,
right?
Which would have been just a year before he retired, and then jumped right back in the game in 2014.
Yeah. Both feet.
And gave the rebirth of Matilde, and originally released the Matilde Renacer, which we are going to get into a little bit later here.
Yeah. And big shout out to them for sending us these cigars and really making this happen.
Thank you.
You know, thank you so much. You guys have been great. Their correspondence is great. Their whole team that I've dealt with has just been amazing the whole time.
We will return some strawberry lube in return as a token of our gratitude.
Well, I wouldn't go that far. This stuff's kind of expensive.
One of those prototype strap-ons.
One of the quotes from Jose that they have on their website that really does a great job of surmising this very...
We'll be right back with that quote.
Yeah.
Rolling clouds and crashing surf, iridescent dunes reflecting by the light of a rising glowing moon. Seashore mesmerizing, night breeze hypnotizing, we've come across these back roads none too soon. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love.
And we're back. Thank you for waiting, and I hope those commercials were fun. Benjamin's going to finish that quote for us, though. What you got?
Well, yeah, we just wanted to drive home that feel of, you know, the generational experience and the homage to not only the family, but where the families are from, right? And so on their website, they have a quote from Jose Sejas that says, "Making the best cigar in the world is what drives me. Matilde is how I pay homage to my country," which I think is absolutely the bow on this present, if you will.
I was going to say it's the first step towards indictment, but you know, right?
but it just, I think it drives home the fact of how small, but at the same time, like, prideful and impactful and passionate these people are about something that is, I mean, absolutely handmade. This is something that comes from the soil, that has touched hundreds of pairs of hands from its inception to curing to aging to being rolled, blended, and then aged again. And just having, you know, that level of care and attention to detail, and it being such a part of your being that after you've had, you know, almost a 30-year career in an industry and literally made it to the Hall of Fame, that it's still not enough. You know, you still don't want to hang it up, and you want to get back out there and make an impact in the right way by resurrecting a brand, you know, from the 1800s.
Yeah, that's awesome. So up next, we've got the Oscuro, and continuing to speak more on that is going to be Benjamin.
Yes, sir.
Tell us about the Oscuro.
Yeah, so we've got the Matilde Oscuro here. It was released in 2015 by Jose Sayas and his family. The second release for Matilde Cigars boasts a dark San Andreas wrapper with a Sumatra binder and fillers from the Dominican Republic, Nicaragua, and Pennsylvania. Be prepared to enjoy a medium-bodied, flavorful cigar with notes of cocoa, espresso, cream, and cedar. The binder on this is Sumatra, filler Dominican, Nicaraguan.
Demonic?
Sorry. Yeah. I'm having a case of the bargers over here today.
Oh, man. Hey,
Dominican, Nicaraguan, and the USA, that would be the Pennsylvania, wrapped in a Mexican San Andreas wrapper.
I love the San Andreas wrapper on that thing.
Amen.
That is such a good cigar.
Yeah, rating.
What you got?
I was gonna say. No, this is a tiny, short, little personal story about this cigar. So y'all been to PCA?
Yeah.
So the first year that they released this cigar at PCA, IPCPR, whatever, the first day. Now you guys have been to the show. Mm-hmm. The guys in the room have, and you smoke a lot of cigars.
Yep.
When they first released that cigar, I was so stoked to smoke it that was the first cigar I smoked on the first day of the show, and I feel like after tasting that cigar, I couldn't taste anything after that day. Yeah. But that was the first cigar of the trade show I smoked
that
year.
LFD chisel, huh?
Yep.
Well, right. And I think when you hear some of our tasting notes, about this cigar, I think you'll understand why, because it really is an embodiment of both a really good Oscuro, with the San Andreas wrapper. I mean, it's really brought an awful lot of the thing that I wrote in very, very big letters is mint. This was a mint factory through and through, all the way from the point it was lit until, it finished out. It just stayed. And it wasn't like a menthol, kind of an alcohol-induced kind of, mint. It was just, it literally tasted like somebody had just stuck your head in a big bowl of mint and rubbed it, back and forth. And those oils were... I wasn't. I actually had this, fresh. Julep? No?
No, this is Mojito all day, every day.
Yeah.
A nice, beautiful, aged rum, some fresh mint, a little bit of cane
for
sugar.
Sure.
Big flavor bomb.
Yeah.
What I love about that, man, I think that it blends the Oscuro and with the San Andreas wrapper. It just, those spices blend together to just, I absolutely love this cigar.
This was a good setup.
I love this cigar.
Absolutely.
So what's our rating? We're going to go 5 with that. First 5 on the new rating. Congratulations, Oscuro.
Get you that box of Oscuros. Come on now.
Got to get them. Where's a box?
Feel free to send us a box, folks.
Where's a box? I think the other thing that really, Nate and I had a small conversation about San Andreas wrappers earlier today, and we were talking about a little bit of that minerality, almost metallic kind of taste, and 300%.
Yeah.
That is what runs through this, and that mint just evolves that into something that is as deep and as bold as this cigar is. It has this nice cleansing, refreshing finish.
Yeah, it's not pungent and beats on your flavor like it beats on your palate like a typical Oscuro would.
Right.
But the thing I love is, like, as you guys are describing the cigar, if somebody on the interwebs had never seen it in person, you might think it's lighter of a shading than it is. And that's the thing, too, is I do find that it has a good amount of nicotine strength, too, to carry forward with that refreshing kind of aspect to it, too. So it's just a nice, I don't know, it's not what you expect.
Yeah. I will definitely be revisiting this cigar again. All right. Up next, we're going to have, what are we doing?
The Quadrata.
The Quadrata.
Oh, that's me on the Quadrata, isn't it? Oh, hey-o. Got my notes mixed up here, folks. Sorry about that. But the Quadrata is the Matilde Quadrata. What I've got is it's a medium-bodied cigar blend by the Sejas family in La Romana, Dominican Republic, using Ecuadorian Habano wrapper, Dominican binder, and fillers from Dominican Republic and Nicaragua. And this is the third line released by the company. And man, that Ecuadorian Habano wrapper, is great.
Oh,
so good.
I wrote down smoky spice, kind of like almost like a chipotle. You know, kind of that smoke that you would get when you typically, you know, would smoke a jalapeno wood that would had kind of a subtle spice on it. There were like hints of mint through this. So there was, you know, it was a little bit of a cornucopia. There was a lot going on here. This was, you know, kind of middle of the road for me. I didn't think it was, you know, like amazing, but I didn't think it was bad either. I was definitely something I felt like it was just, you know, it was good. It wasn't a good representation of the rest of the product line.
Did you pay for the extra guac at Chipotle? Or?
No, he gets it for free.
It's because I bring the strap-on and their favorite lube. That's the reason why I get all the good stuff at Chipotle.
That's his tip.
Don't you know that that is the secret?
That is his
Did
tip.
You not get the company minimum memo, Benjamin?
Bam, once again.
Absolutely, for sure.
That's right.
I get a really strong, like, nutmeg kind of presence on this cigar to me. Yeah.
I was kind of in the allspice family on it. It was good.
This one for me is the like nice toastiness of like fresh roasted almonds. Like it is very much so. We're not talking Marcona here. These are skin on, kind of waxy almonds. A lot of that like toasty nutty finish comes all the way through this. I think one of the other things that's one of my favorite flavor nuances to Matilde is they all seem to have like this really well-balanced spice undertone. Though it's not necessarily pungent or well-expressed, you definitely get it on the retrohale, but they all have this just like real nice, almost cleansing, palate-resetting spice that are underneath a lot of their blends, which I really, really enjoy.
Yeah, I definitely enjoy the retro on that one, for sure. It's definitely very... it's very clean for a habano, you know, and I think to carry on with your point, you know, it was very crisp and clean, kind of just an all around good habano.
And I've been on the habano train this year.
Oh man, I love the habano train. Mike hates them, but I love them.
Habano, yeah.
All right, so what's our rating on this, guys? So we're gonna go with a 4.
Magnificent.
All right, so up next Mike is going to go over the Serena Connecticut, and that's what do you think about that? Tell us a little bit.
So the Matilde Serena offers your palate a mild to medium smoke with earthy dark cocoa, black pepper, and sweet notes, made in the Dominican Republic at the Matilde factory. The cigar has excellent burn, construction, and draw. The binder is Dominican. The filler is Dominican Nicaragua. The wrapper is Ecuadorian Connecticut Shade. So some of my own notes around this. I have to say, I am a sucker for this, you know, combo. I wrote down like a fresh can of mixed nuts with the creamy cashews dominating the flavor. Big marshmallow puffs to fill the mouth with all that sweet, creamy mouthful. There's no lube involved with this, by the way. I got a little barnyard in the last third of the stick, kind of horse blanket, hay, some tack leather. I really liked it. This is a complete Ecuadorian, you know, Connecticut wrapper and DR filler experience. I mean, if somebody walked into the shop and said, hey, this is what I'm looking for, I would have no problem in saying, this is one of many. This is probably going to be in the, you know, in the top 10% of, you know, that combo for sure. So I would absolutely go back to this. Oh, that was great.
This is breakfast
all day,
all day long. This is that first cup of coffee, right? You know, get that latte going. This one is a great way to start your day. Still with like this nice kind of fresh hay, kind of crisp finish on the end of it. It doesn't necessarily like linger. It's not super oily on the palate. So it's something that you can smoke first thing in the day, you know, afternoon, but it's not going to cling to you, not really going to ruin the rest of your day. Love this Connecticut. Also, too, since starting with the Sips, Suds, and Smokes podcast, I've really broadened.
I thought he was going to say posse there for a minute.
So close. I thought
I was going to say strawberry lube, but that's okay.
How many times can we fit that in this podcast?
Yeah, right.
Seven, if you're counting, but that's okay.
There's going to be a drinking game for that.
That's right. Get your drinks
ready. I'm almost there.
But yeah, so this is just one of those smokes, right? It's an all day kind of thing. It's something that you can get into. You know, it's not going to cling to you. You can go on about your day after smoking this thing.
I thought it was a lighter side, but it was also real earthy. So I got a lot of earth tones out of it, a lot of like dirt, soil, kind of just really what I like about a good Connecticut cigar is like that. It was very much in my profile for Connecticut.
Well, the one thing I'll add is this was actually my favorite stick of the entire flight. And
really?
So, yeah, I did. I thought it was that good. And I ended up smoking it down to the nub. I was like, wow, I am disappointed this is over, you know.
Okay.
That's always a good feeling.
Well, we'll take a box of those if you want to send them to us.
Yeah. What'd you think of it, Nate?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I really like this one. I find it's what I'd call a utility Connecticut, where it's just like you can stand by it, but also like for me, it's just the thing I love about it too is how easy it burns. Like it's got a good draw, it's got a good burn, and especially when you talk about morning cigars, like part of a morning cigar is being able to ease into your day and being able to take that breath a lot of times before the morning. And so to me, that cigar is always flawless for just smoking perfectly too.
Yeah. Here's one of the things that I've found that I really enjoy about the Matilde family cigar lines. Okay. One is they're very approachable. So if you have a friend or you know someone that's just getting into cigars and you're like, oh, I don't know if I like this, I don't know if I like this, or they're ho-hum about certain things, you can go, let me put you onto this. This is a, you know, the Connecticut. This is the Maduro. These are not overly, these aren't going to turn you off to any of the shades that they have. Like, it will help you come into what you're finding out about cigars. So it's a very, very much approachable brand is what I'm trying to say.
And not just approachable from the flavor standpoint, price point.
No, price point. 100%.
You know, in the whiskey industry, you talk about those bottles, you know, that are the daily drinkers, the ones that are underrated, overlooked, but at the right price point, right? Yep. These bang for your buck kind of sips. This is the smoke for that.
These are daily smokers, folks.
100%.
These are $10 and under. Most of the time.
Yeah,
right?
No, I mean, the biggest size is pretty much 10, 11 bucks and under.
Yeah, I actually think this is a good product line, you know, entry point for, you know, people that are not really quite sure what you like and what you don't like. I mean, this is...
Well, even if you do like cigars and, you know, like as a avid cigar smokers, all of us, we're
smoke
this brand. Like this brand is...
Yeah, but
absolutely onto something.
But you know, Nate gets to see this all day long, and a lot of, you know, things to talk about here on the show that people are very, you know, brand, you know, rut, consistent. They fall in, you know, in love with one or two things,
I'm guilty of that myself.
They just, you know, they'll wear it out to death, and they won't look, you know, to the left or the right. This is what I call the step beyond the rut, which is, you know what, I don't think you know what you don't know. And you know, I think without, you know, doing a swan dive in concrete and taking you down some path where it's going to be, a real departure from what you have been enjoying. If you were to go through this full product line and then go back to your tobacco store and say, of these, you know, five or six sticks, I like these two, these three are okay, this one is awesome. That is really going to give you a kind of a reference card to say, I like this flavor profile. And I like these sticks, but I know there are going to be other people that are going to have some similar things like this. I think that's how I look at, you know, a lot of what they've done in this product line is I don't think they've really gone after things that are on the extreme end, you know, for a lot of these combinations and almost pushing the envelope of, you know, what the tobacco is going to give up in some of these combos. I think they're going with good, solid choices. I think they're sticking with what works, and it's really showing through in a lot of the quality.
I actually had that same conversation that you're talking about with Stump. at the Abbey earlier today on my way in about another brand that I'm not going to say now, but you know, we'll have them on. But it was interesting. He was asking me about them and what I thought, and I was like, well, this is neat having this back and forth about, you know, well, this brand, like, there's a couple of solid sticks, and then there's a couple of sticks that are just like, meh, could do with or without, you know. But that's just my profile, you know. So don't just take one person's profile and go, well, I'm going to stock my humidor off one person's profile, because that's just silly, right?
Buffalo Trace, anybody?
Well, yeah, and honestly, and something we don't always talk about too on this podcast, but is the packaging is really user-friendly, I would say, in a sense where...
I like the colors.
Yeah, the colors are nice, and the boxes the boxes that match the colors. Gorgeous boxes. And to me, it's just, if you want to get into this brand and start smoking through it and diving through it, it's just some brands make it real difficult to tell what is what. And this one, it's really super straightforward.
Yep, color coordinated.
Super easy. And so if even from a packaging standpoint, it's really easy to dive into Matilde.
So part of what we were talking about is, so each of these cigars and the associated box have a very distinctive color. And so, you know, I think it's very easy for people. Now, in fact, when we were going through this, I was like, well, did you have the blue one or the green one? You know, or right. Did you have the orange one? You know, even as we were kind of talking about our own notes and planning, you know, some of the show, we were actually using those color references. It was a little bit easier than, you know, what did the band say? Because, you know, sometimes the way in which the branding, you know, the band, it's like they all have the same name and the same color. And then there's one small bit on the band that tells you what that particular stick is. And this is really apparent.
Right under that major band that is color coded and has that classic, well-known Matilde logo.
Yeah.
Right underneath that is the name
of the stick.
Of the stick. Which leads same into color. Its profile and just like makes it even more.
Simplicity of that. Yeah,
absolutely.
I'm very much a sucker for branding, and their branding is on point. Well, after this commercial, we're going to come back and talk about a couple more.
It's not just the destination, but baby, the whole elation riding down this lover's avenue. As slow as a willow blows, or as fast as the whirlwind grows, we glide beneath the stars in cobalt blue. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love. Our eyes ahead on these back roads with a view.
Welcome back, as always. I'm sure those commercials were riveting, and I hope you enjoyed every one of them. But up next here, we got a couple of special delights.
We're going to rate the Connecticut.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, we got to rate
See,
it.
I'm getting ahead of myself. I love checks and balances, folks. This is why we are together in one room. So we're going to rate the Connecticut. What'd you guys think about the Connecticut there? That is a resounding, across the board 5. We all give it a 5. That is a great cigar.
Great stick.
And we'll take a box if you send them to us. But
what was that term for across the board again? What,
I don't know.
Renounding?
Are, you know, is listen, that, words are hard sometimes. The English language.
My words are not the same as it was before.
That's right. Thank you, Kentucky, for my education.
Can he say that properly with a strap on?
Right. That's right. That's right. But the strap on, what you were saying.
Oh, Matilda.
All right. So, Nate, we have a couple of treats here that they didn't send us for this podcast, but we're going to go ahead and talk about them because we love this brand. Nate's going to tell you about the
Renacer.
I'm horrible at pronouncing that. I just, so that's why I let him say it.
Well,
folks.
I said it to you wrong the first time. Anyways, Jose Cejas, the legendary master blender who oversaw the production of Monte Cristo, H. Upman, and Romeo and Juliet for years, comes back to the industry with a brand of his own, Matilde, Renacer. Renacer means, in Spanish, means rebirth. And this portrays both the resurgence of Jose Cejas and the rebirth of an old Dominican brand made by Tabacalera La Matilde in 1876 in Santiago, Dominican Republic. Matilde Renacer cigars are made in predominantly Dominican filler with a bit of Nicaraguan and Dominican binder and an Ecuadorian Habano wrapper. The binder is Dominican, the filler is Dominican and Nicaraguan, and the wrapper is Ecuadorian Habano.
So, tell us a little bit about this cigar.
So, well, first off, this is their first cigar they ever released. I thought so.
Yes. This was the flagship.
Yeah, so this is the first cigar they ever released. And the thing about this one is, compared to the Quadrada, because on paper they look like the same blend.
Yep.
The Quadrada is completely box pressed. This is completely round. But to me, this one has a lot more depth and a lot more, a little bit power behind it. I get strong caramely notes. So have you guys smoked it? Has anybody else smoked
yes,
it?
Yes, I have. I have smoked this.
Yep. So Ben, you guys have. Okay, yeah, so
I think I've smoked everything that they make.
Okay, cool.
I
have. So yeah, so that cigar to me though, it's a really rich, flavorful cigar. I don't know, when they first came out, they had that cigar out by itself for at least a year or two.
I remember and that.
It was super solid to me because it's just, it was very like old world, old style, but very flavorful and
very
complex.
I was very earthy with it, so very earth notes, very cocoa, very, very much what I want in a Habano. Very much. Words are hard for me to
yeah, and folks. not to use the overburdened industry term, but terroir. Yeah. This thing is a taste of the soil where it grows.
That's absolutely right.
In the best ways possible, because it definitely has those nice earthy, you know, soil rich flavor profiles, but you also get that nice little bit of like sweet molasses. You get a little bit of the dark coffee.
Yep.
And those of you that may not know, like Dominican Republic's rum country also. And so this thing, like I could just imagine sitting with a nice Dominican rum with all of those earthy vegetal flavors and pairing the Renacer with it and having an experience.
I will say, if you have not had a Renacer, go get one. Go get two.
Get three.
Get three.
Might as well.
You're gonna love it, and you're gonna thank us later for it. Let's go with a rating on that, guys. What do we got? So we're gonna go with a 4. So I've got
magnificent.
I always forget it says that at the end. I'm going to catch that on the next episode.
We can tell.
On the next episode, I'm not going to say a word until I hear that. That's right. You'll see, folks. Listen to the next episode and hear me screw up again on today's episode. So I've got a wild card for you guys. They, at the PCA, I got one of their limited exposures, which have any of you guys had a chance to smoke with it?
Which one? One or two?
It was red.
What color? Red?
It's number one.
It's number one.
Number one.
No, number one. That's what I thought. So, but the three of us, have you, did you not? Okay, you didn't partake. Banned once again, Mike.
I wish to register a complaint.
Yep, he always complains.
That's how he feels about it.
So, let me tell you about this limited exposure. It's written that the limited exposure is a series of limited release premium cigars by this brand, Matilde. The cigar in the series will be available in limited quantities and offered at certain times throughout the year. Each cigar in the series bears the blend's number of the year that it was produced. The beautifully crafted cigar features mouth-watering, oily, dark Mexican Maduro wrapper placed over a binder and filler made of Dominican Republic. It's handmade in the Dominican Republic by Matilde. The Tabacalera La Isla?
Isla.
Isla factory, which is owned by Hostess Fernandez Quesada. Quesada?
Quesada.
Quesada. Quesadilla?
Yikes, maybe. Bro. Come on.
I'm horrible with names. Yeah.
Quesada.
Quesada. Thank you for having
Quesada
a great
cigars.
Factory, guys.
Hopefully you sponsor us sometime.
Yeah, sponsor us. Let's go. Quesada. Man, they made back in the day, we'll talk about that another day. We'll talk about that another time. So the binder and filler Dominican with a Mexican wrapper. So what did you guys think? Because I'll tell you what I think. What do you guys think?
first off, I do want to know a little bit about this factory, just because this factory is a sleeper factory, in my opinion.
Oh, 100%.
Well, they opened up a couple years ago. The dude is somebody connected to the Quesada family, but So first cigars he put out limited with was Warped. He's done two cigars for Warped. Yep. He's done a couple for Matilde. There's somebody else I'm blanking on. But the thing about it is it's a really, really small factory. And if you know anything about like the El Titan Del Bronze factory in Miami, I get similar vibes off of that, where it's just you have like a handful of people working there. Everything is really quality control about that place versus, you know, a bigger factory where you're going to be pumping out cigars. This is about special projects, I would say.
Yeah, kind of everything's LTE.
Yeah, on it. I mean, pretty much. So, I mean, the Warp stuff is regular production, but it's still it's small production stuff.
Yeah. What would you say their productions are?
I don't know. I'm not going to guess on that today.
Oh, I thought you knew everything.
I don't.
Nate knows it all, folks. That's on the next episode.
He definitely tries.
He tries. So what does the interweb say about this factory?
Yeah, so I'm just looking through here about Quesada Cigars. The Quesada family has been a part of the tobacco industry for over a century. When they first arrived from Cuba and Spain, they were bakers. But in the early 2000s, Manolo Quesada assembled a new management team around him, which included general manager Julio Fajardo, Manolo's brother, Alvaro Quesada, who's vice president. And the company's farms in, they were in charge of a fledgling cigarette operation.
Okay.
2002, a plane crash took the lives, unfortunately, of all three, just leaving Manolo to run the company.
Sorry
but
for your loss.
Today, Manolo Quesada works with his two daughters, Patricia and Raquel, and his niece, Esther Quesada, Alvaro's daughter, the fifth generation of the Quesada family.
That just goes on. I'm sorry to interrupt, but not sorry. But that just goes on to what Mike was talking about earlier, how the families continue to pass these things down.
Well, yeah, and I don't know who this guy is, because this guy is somebody in that family.
Sure.
I mean, yeah. But all that to say, it's a really cool factory.
Yeah. You should
check him out.
No, I think it's great. So what are we going to rate this guy? I absolutely love this, and it's a 5 across the board. Now, they also released the number 2 recently, and the number 3 is coming out in March.
Well, I don't know about their plans, but they've only done 1 and 2. Like,
yeah.
Each year, they essentially release 1 in like spring in the fall, but they've never done a 3. There's never been talks of a 3.
Well, hopefully they've got a 3 coming in the mix, because I'm ready to smoke it for sure. So, just like everything, life is good and worth discussing. What did you guys pair with these things? Mike, we're going to start with you.
Well, you know, there were a couple sticks that I had with a few different things. I actually started off with Quadrata. I actually had with a rum that was from Guyana. And it was okay. I thought that rum was a good choice.
Four square?
No. The Guyana rum that I had was, I forgot who the independent bottler was off of this. I want to say it was a K. Scott K.
Okay.
So I thought rum was a good choice with the Quadrata. I probably would have picked a different rum to go with. You know, something that was probably a lot sweeter than that particular rum that I chose. Let's see. I actually had a scotch with the Serena Connecticut, and that was spot on. I went to a Kalila that had been finished in a sherry bud as well, and that was a perfect combo.
Yeah.
You know, the Connecticut is just a great way to set things up where you can really go after huge flavor bombs, you know, to be able to pair with that. I probably would have even gone for even an Isla, you know, base scotch.
Really?
Would have been probably good. I can see a Lefroy working really well with that.
The Pete would have went with that?
Yeah, I think I probably would have even gone, you know, some products in the Ardbeg line, Alligator.
Oof, heavy.
Would have worked out. I don't think I would have gone full-blown, you know, Octomore, you know, paint thinner, but...
Maybe like a Bruichladdich, something that's got a little salinity to it.
Well, Bruichladdich's not peated. Oshetalchin. So, but, you know, I think that is a general a good pairing choice is when you have something that is, you know, really sweet like those, you know, in a Connecticut wrapper, is that you can really go after things that are really good flavor bombs. And I tend to go after things that have a lot of wood or have, in this case, you know, a lot of, you know, peat or something that's finished that's really going to really bring in a tremendous amount of flavor, you know, with this. I actually had a wine with I forgot the other stick.
Here we go. Renancer. Talking about wine.
The Renancer?
The
Serena Maduro.
The Serena Maduro. I actually had a Red Zin with that, and I thought that was a really good choice. I thought it didn't really enhance the wine, you know, quite a bit. I actually enjoyed that combo.
I would have went with like a Carmenere or a Cab Franc.
Yeah, those are blending grapes.
I like blending grapes.
I think you needed something that was a bit more beefier to kind of stand up to it all.
I'm not a wine guy, just throwing that out there.
That's okay.
But
obviously.
I'm impressed you knew the word Franc without saying, you know, a flavor of lube.
You mean Frank don't make wine no more?
Yeah. You mean it don't taste like hot dogs?
You know, I think that's probably what if I had to, you know, maybe summarize, you know, some of the pairing choices. Again, you know, very good hand in hand. You know, I really think of that product line as a very good reference guide. I mean, I think you can sit down and say, you know, you're going to find, you know, thing good pairing elements with things that you like. You may not, you know, with some of those cigars that maybe you just had with nothing else with it, if it was paired with something, you actually might enjoy the cigar a lot more and would really enhance the entire experience. So, I mean, I think that's why I really tend to think of, you know, this product line as a good reference set, is to say, sit down and, you know, have two cigars and three different products that you pair with all three of them.
Yeah.
And you're going to go yes, no, yes, no, yes, no. And you're going to figure out, you know,
pretty quickly
a bit of some process of elimination, both what you like and what you don't like. So, I that's what I like about this product line in general.
It's funny because I did a rum as well. I was on a Havana Club 7.
Okay.
So, which was great with it.
With which stick, do you remember?
That was with the Maduro. And I thought it went really good well with it. But I also did like coffee and root beer and I went Irish whiskey with them.
Huh.
So I was in the like a red breast.
Yeah.
Like you know,
which one?
So I did two different red breasts. I did 12, one of them
15.
Well, maybe. No, one was the little Stout.
Nice.
Okay. Which was great.
Yeah.
With it. And then the other one was the 15.
Yeah, I think that Lestal sherry cask with a lot of those like dried fruit notes would be super tasty.
The Hogsmeade or Hogshead sherry cask or whatever.
Hogsmeade. I'm watching Harry Potter, you weirdo.
Dude, don't get me started. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a good setup in general, you know, for Maduros. Lend itself pretty well to a lot of, you know, broad range of Irish whiskeys.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's a good go-to.
I would encourage people not to hold yourself to one only taste profile when you're drinking something pairing with a cigar. Branch out. If you've got multiple bottles, try different things with them.
Oh, comparative and contrasting tasting is a big, big thing.
Yeah, because they'll pull out flavors. They'll pull out other nuances that you didn't even know was there. You know, what about you guys real quick? We only got a short amount of time here. What is about?
I was on a heavy dose of Liquid Death lime flavored soda waters. Oof, for this.
There you go.
Clean, crisp, refreshing. The lime brings on that kind of island vibe and just a great reset as you smoke through these cigars.
Nate?
I'm just going to say some nice old filtered H2O.
Oh, there you go. Some love water. It. Some agua. All right. Well, this has been a great show.
Great product
this
line.
It's been a great
I'm glad product we got to go line. Through. Yeah.
Absolutely. Hands down, love this stuff. But great stuff for the episode today. You guys, I want to thank our guest and our co-host, good old boy Mike.
Hey, thanks for joining us on this episode of Sip, Sud, and Smokes. I'll ask you to come back, enjoy another episode, and to keep on sipping.
Good old boy Benjamin.
Smoke them if you got them.
Good old boy Nate.
Come and see us again.
Come and see us again. That is great words, folks. Thank you so much for taking your time out of your day to listen to us. And I would encourage you to hit the like and subscribe button so you can see what we're doing every day. We come out with a new episode every week.
Oh, hang on. I just got a text message.
Oh, yeah?
We have a new sponsor for Banana Lube.
Ooh. Oh, well, we'll get with them and talk about the fiscal responsibilities from them.
What would you pair that with?
We'll talk about it later. Thanks, folks. Have a good night. And I'm going to tell you to keep on smoking, no matter what it is.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you're listening to us online, do yourself a favor and tap.
Just tap it in.
The subscribe button.
Give it a little tappy. Tap, tap, tap-a-roo.
The easiest way to listen to our show is to ask Siri, Alexa, Google, Uncle Larry, or whoever it is that talks to you on your phone. Play podcast Sip, Suds, and Smokes. We love your feedback, and you can reach us at info@sipsudsandsmokes.com. Our tasting notes flow out on Twitter and Instagram with our handle @SipSudsAndSmokes, and our Facebook page is always buzzing with lots of news. You'll also be able to interact with the thousands,
millions, and millions
of other fans on those social media platforms. Do us a favor. Take the time to rate this episode if you're listening to us online. That's a big help to us, and we get to see your feedback as well. Come back, join us for another episode, and keep on sipping.
This has been a One Tan Hand production of Sip, Suds, and Smokes, a program devoted to the appreciation of some of the finer slices of life. From the Dude in the Basement Studios, your host, the Good Old Boys, will see y'all next time.